Evolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a civil majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, darling. Nice to see you. It's been a long time. You're just as lovely as you used to be. How's your new love? Are you happy? Hope you're doing fine. Just to know it means so much to me. What's that, darling? How am I doing? I'm doing all right, except I can't sleep. I cry all night till dawn. What I'm trying to say is I love you and I miss you, and I'm so sorry that I did you wrong. Look up, darling. Let me kiss you.
Just one more time.
Just for
old time's sake, a little Conway Twitty for you on this Christmas Day night. It's Late Night with the Mechanic on a Sunday, and it's Christmas. Who knew, huh? I would do a Christmas broadcast. I don't know who's listening. I don't really care. Yeah, here we are. Yeah. I got a few things I'm going to play for you, quite a few tabs open. Let's see here. Let's start up in here. Right there. All right. If you haven't already, find your way over to freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, and get on that Patreon circuit. We would appreciate it. I'm not sure if there's a store in there yet. You can get in the archives. You can find your way over into the chat. Yeah, you know, do what you like with that. Hey, Susie Q, how you doing? Yeah, let's get to it. Oregon Green, there you are. Hey, there's some people out there. I guess some people are listening. All right. Just a couple of shorties. And then I got some articles. And wouldn't you know it, it's not all vaccine related. Wouldn't you know it? All right. Here we go.
The spike protein is a toxin. So it's not, doesn't matter whether it's J&J, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer. They all make your body make a spike protein.
It doesn't matter. And I think that they made a deal with AstraZeneca. Huh? They said, look, we're going to let you kill a few million people, all right? And then we're going to take you off the market, right? In the majority of countries, you know, one being America. But don't worry. You're still going to be everywhere in third world nations killing people. So you're good, bud. And we'll have the new king knight you. That's the world we live in, where murderous, treasonous CEOs of Big Pharma get knighted. That's the world we live in.
That spike protein binds to a tumor suppressor gene family, P53. It also binds to the breast cancer gene, BRCA, and the ovarian cancer gene, BRCA. We know that spike protein can induce cancer pathways. Period.
Shocking.
It's happening. Cancers are on the increase.
Shocking.
Across the board.
Shocking.
Lymphomas, leukemias, blood cancers, because that spike goes to the bone marrow.
Yep.
The lipid nanoparticle carries the mRNA. Tumor-dividing stem cells. Because it doesn't stay in the arm. It can go into any cell in your body, and it turns that cell into a spike factory. It inhibits the ability for your DNA to repair itself. It binds to our mitochondria, destroys the energy of our brain cells, destroys the energy of our liver cells, destroys the energy of any cell it gets into. Your own immune system attacks those cells. So a lot of people have arthritic pain, muscle pain. It's because those cells are being attacked by your own immune system because they're expressing this foreign spike protein. That spike protein causes mechanisms of cancer in many people. And I've been seeing that in the lab. I've been having it confirmed by oncologists, radiologists, radiation oncologists, pathologists all around the world as I travel. It is happening. It's on the uptick. Our military database showed it until our Department of Defense illegally froze that database and hid the data. This is a crime against humanity. We're using a dangerous product on humanity that is harming the human cells, that is harming the human body, that is harming our hormones, that is harming our reproductive organs, that is harming any organ where that protein lands, period.
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dry. It's my Twitter account, so I'll go ahead and drop Gearjammer, how you doing? There's that link right there. I just played that little clip right there. Net Effect, how you doing? Hey, Tucker Gerald, how you doing? I mean, you guys want to come on. If you're working on Christmas and you want to come on the show, I got no issues with that. But I figured nobody would be here, you know. I see some green lights, though. So Merry Christmas. If you want to call me. But I'm not calling you because it's Christmas, and I don't know what's going on with any of yous. All right? So, you know, the Mr. Rose and the hijackers and the deacons of the world and all you guys out there on my list, you want to call in, Mr. Wade? Whatever, you call in. Okay, I'm not calling you. It's Christmas. I don't know what you're doing. I don't want to interrupt your thing. Whatever. All right. Okay. So, we still got the share screen on. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that's, again, these people are amazing individuals, these doctors that are coming up. Here's one for you. Dax DeGera, the executive producer of ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos, died suddenly Friday at the age of 37 from a heart attack. Everything is fine here, folks. Everything is fine. Everything is lovely. Everything is lovely. Okay, here we go. Here's some more good news for you. And again, tragic, tragic. I agree. All these stories I share, tragic. I agree 100%. All right. Okay, it's fine. Here's the deal. Mainstream. These mainstream cats, they're starting to come on the radio, and they're absolutely confused on why things are happening the way they are. And especially these ass hat wearing ass clowns like Dr. Drew. We used to have his man show in the Love Channel, or the Love, he used to have the Love Line, Dr. Drew's Love Line. He used to call in and he would give you fascinating love advice. Moron. Okay. So let's dissect this douchebag as he wakes up to the nonsense. Let's see the lineup for his guests coming soon. He's got Steve Kirsch, which I subscribe to. I get his emails. Maorta, I've watched at least 3 or 4 full-length, one-hour-plus videos with him in it. Megyn Kelly, who lost her sister, or her sister got really sick. I'm not sure what happened there. Brian Brindle, okay, again, another doctor coming out. And Dr. Ryan Cole, this dude dominates. He was in all the panels, Dr. Ryan Cole. Okay? These are all the individuals he's got coming up on his podcast. And what I find ironic about this is that prior to COVID-19, he wouldn't have talked to these cats. But he can't find answers in his own world. So he's got to go to the other side. He's stepping out of the mainstream news right now. And I'm just curious in how long that's going to last, really, honestly. How long they're going to let this guy go on. But I think this is very cool. The guy's coming out and he's got all kinds of issues. And he's about to interview Lieutenant Colonel Theresa Long. She was also on the panel with Senator Ron Johnson. It was a great interview. But, you know, our guy over here just seems completely baffled on why so many people are dying from this vaccine. Listen, moron, it's called depopulation agenda. Agenda 21, agenda 30. Okay. It's been around a long time. Bill Gates has told us, as so have many others. Yeah. America has taken the advice of an advice on vaccines from an individual who thinks the world is overpopulated. Think about that. Think about that. We listen to a guy. We listen to what the dude says when he says, hey, take these vaccines, the world is overpopulated. It's ridiculous.
Use authorization, as well as just the usual practice of bioscience and how things are sort of assessed. All that was skipped in the name of getting this thing out as fast as possible. Why suddenly, when people see signals here and there and ask questions, I wonder if there's something going on here, why don't we go back and do the usual research proceedings that we would customarily do to look at whether any of these signals have validity? Why is that a sin now?
So let's roll it back here, because he's got a legitimate question. Let's roll it back so you hear the whole question.
At the U.S. Army School of Aviation, Master's of Public Health from University of West Florida. She received her specialty military training in the medical management of biological and chemical casualties, as well as medical effects of ionizing radiation. She's also trained as an aviation safety officer and as well as an Army flight surgeon, amongst other things. Please welcome Dr. Theresa Long.
Hi, Dr. Brew. Thank you for having me on your show.
It is a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Before we get started, you had a comment you wanted to make.
Yes. My opinions are my own. They do not reflect that of the United States Army, the DOD, or any entity thereof.
Has anything changed in terms of a willingness to kind of... So here's... Let me just frame it this way. We know that we rushed these vaccines out. It was an emergency circumstance. It was an extraordinary time. Things were rolled out quickly. The usual process of...
How you doing, Zoe?
Use authorization, as well as just the usual practice of bioscience and how things are sort of assessed. All that was skipped in the name of getting this thing out as fast as possible. Why suddenly, when people see signals here and there and ask questions. I wonder if there's something going on here. Why don't we go back and do the usual research proceedings that we would customarily do to look at whether any of these signals have validity? Why is that a sin now?
I'm not sure. That's a great question. And why we've deviated from all of our safety procedures and processes in place.
Everybody, appreciate
you being
here.
Why we've completely abandoned risk management and all the principles of epidemiology. It's really quite something to see. And anyone with a background in epidemiology would want the data on the emerging adverse events.
I don't have a background, and I want the data. I don't have a background. Give me the data. So, I got this cell phone over here, okay? And got a little text message from the fully vaxxed ex-girlfriend who recently moved back to San Diego from Missouri. Yeah. And let's see here. Yeah. I got a couple of text messages I want to share with you. Okay. All right. Everybody listen up. I realize what's coming. And this girl's going to die. I'm pretty certain of it. She's had bad luck her whole life. And it's a real shame that she lacks discernment. So I woke up to Merry Christmas. All right, from this bride. Okay. I've known her for over 10 years. She's since been married and divorced in the time that we broke up because that's what she does. She's just a freak. Anyways, Merry Christmas, right? Merry Christmas, mechanic. Yeah. Say, wish her a Merry Christmas back, whatever. And I ask her what she's doing, right? And she says to me, I'm recouping from COVID, right? My response is, but you're fully vaccinated. Excuse me. Yeah, listen to this right here. It's real life, folks. This is real life. Okay. Zoe, I'm sorry you're going through that. That really sucks. All right. Listen up, people. Here we go. Quote, people get vaccinated for the flu, too. There are so many mutations. You do your best to protect yourself, but nothing is ever 100%. My answer was, you lack discernment. Her answer to me, you lack medical knowledge. Well, I made up for it over the last 3 years. What I didn't know, I know now. Let me tell you, I assure you that I know more about what's in this vaccine and what it does to people than people that have taken it. And probably the people that are giving it. A good number of those people that are giving it. Remember you, mind you, I was in the face of a public health officer in this county, a drunk public health officer, mind you, who upon hearing me suggest that, quote, COVID-19, quote, vaccines, unquote, are mRNA technology, unquote. I told her this and she laughed and called me a liar and a spreader of misinformation. Now, we know today that it is a matter of fact, not opinion, but a matter of fact that mRNA is inside of these vaccines. Okay? So she suggests that I lack medical knowledge. Now, I've never claimed to be a doctor. In fact, I often claim to be a knucklehead. But many of you still tune in for some reason. I've read. You deny mRNA is a... Holy. All right. You deny mRNA is gene editing. It's a medical procedure, not a vaccine. They, being the CDC, the NIH, etc., literally changed the definition to have this poison included. So that's my response to her after her telling me I have no understanding of the medical information. So listen to this. This is her again, right? We'll just call her Danny. Okay? Sounds good. Danny. You have some words strung together, but do not have the foundational knowledge to understand them. Which is okay. People study their whole lives to understand medicine and science. I can understand how you are drawing your line, but there is so much background and historical knowledge, you would need to see the whole picture. Yeah, this is a person who is gridlocked in cognitive dissonance. Gridlocked in a medical world of indoctrination. She is a vet tech, a very good one. She gets hired on the spot wherever she goes. She gets paid well. But she's also, a big proponent of the pill popping, okay? And this is probably one of the things that contributed to me getting the hell out of Dodge. Anyways, that's another story. My response, all right, to her assuming that I need to do more research and that I don't understand vaccines, medicine, or science, and that I'm just, it's okay. I'm just ignorant. Yet she's the one who took the vaccine. I'm the ignorant one, but she's boosted. Okay. Wrong again. You got duped, not me. You continue to get sick as do most vaccinated. I know much more than you think. Historical information tells us that our government has no problem killing us. Never known you to be so gullible. Yeah. This is her. I agree that the government does not care about us 99%ers. But I understand... But I understand how vaccinations work. This is her, right? I understand how vaccinations work, right? So my question is any instructions for me after your passing? Yeah, I'm being real. I want to know. Hey, cremate me. She's got Lucy and Godiva. Godiva's a snake. Lucy's a dog. I know them both. Take the gold, silver, and coins. She named some other person as a beneficiary at work, whatever. A dead woman walking right there, ex-girlfriend. Horrible, horrible. Why am I putting this on the radio right now? On Christmas? Hey, you know what? Guess what? Guess what? On the East Coast, Christmas is over. All right. And it's only 35 minutes more here. All right. So I'm ahead of my time. Okay. Let me go get that dog. We're sending the dogs in the kitchen where it shouldn't be. You know, kinds of things you should do. This stuff is really good. And we're back. How you doing? You know, she doesn't seem like she's in pain. And no, it doesn't really bother me. I mean, she put me through a world of shit for years. So, you know, I don't wish her harm, but she's never listened to me. And when you don't listen to me about things that I take a big, strong look at, you know, and you don't do your own research to compare notes, then you do yourself a disservice. And she's done herself a disservice. It wouldn't surprise me if she's got the fourth or fifth booster. I know for sure she's got three. And I'm going to lose her. She's going to die. Yeah, eventually, maybe sooner than I am. I'm probably going to outlive her, and it's a real unfortunate thing here. And we're watching a died suddenly campaign put on, brought to you by Pfizer and Moderna and all these other douchebags. So, Zoe, I appreciate you trying to give me some counseling, but I won't be paying you $150 an hour. I won't be spending any time on your couch, and I won't be taking any of your psychotropic drugs. Okay. Exactly, net effect. Exactly. She can't handle the fact that I remain based. She can't handle the fact that I am amongst the unvaccinated, the individuals who use critical thinking, who analyzed, researched, and came to a conclusion that was best for them. And that's where I'm at today. Not sick. I don't have HIV. I don't have cancer. I'm not bragging, but I'm saying that these things are apparent. I don't feel like I'm dying anytime soon. I'm definitely not suicidal. There are people dropping like flies all around the world. Celebrities included. So you know this thing is real. Even doctors are dying. You know this is real. And they don't care who you are. They want you dead. They already have a plan for your replacement. They just want you to comply and die. Yeah, I appreciate it, Zoe. I appreciate it. Let's get back to these clips. These clips are ridiculous. I got that one there. Yeah, let's go back to Lieutenant Colonel Theresa Long, MD, for the U.S. Army. Well, I graduated high school in 1991. It's interesting. She looks familiar. Okay.
That are going on after this new novel technology platform for what they are calling a vaccine was introduced not only in our military, but across the country and around the globe. And there doesn't seem to even be a healthy amount of scientific curiosity about the adverse events that we're seeing and the safety signals that are glaring in every aspect.
What are your most concerning signals?
My most concerning is that I have a fixed population. of 4,000 people that are extremely healthy and fit. They're selected for their health and fitness to be pilots. And I monitor the health of that population. And to have seen the health of that population decline and to see.
Okay, so so she monitors the health of pilots in the military. So she sees the adverse effects in these pilots firsthand. Firsthand. So, again, this is where I get my resources. This is a part of my resource collection here out of a doctor's mouth. Yet, I am called misinformation. So, when I repeat this message, when I repeat this information right here to someone else, okay, and for which whom it came from, there are still high numbers of individuals out there who think I am disinformation because they lack discernment. They lack discernment.
Upticks in things that in 30 years in the Army and 16 years as a practicing physician in the military, I had never seen such a clustering of very unusual things in such healthy young adults and especially young males. And so in the military, there are doctors that just happen to put on a uniform and there are officers, there are Army doctors. And so when you're trained to think about anything that could pose a threat to the health of our fighting force, you know, even if it was rolled out and all the regular safety systems had been in place and we had taken the time to get this right, you still should be monitoring. There's a reason that vaccine vials have lot numbers and people should be looking at lot numbers. Perhaps there's a correlation between, you know, increased amount of adverse events and a certain lot number. But to have no discussion whatsoever and for people to completely and blindly believe that this thing is as safe as air and water, when they have no historical data to back that up.
How do we tease out, this is something I've been asking for lately, and I'm shocked that it's not sort of priority one. How do we tease out what's COVID, what's vaccine and COVID? Because any one of those could be the main culprit, or it could be distributed, who knows? It could be any possibility, because they seem to have done nothing to answer that basic question. But they'll point at things and go, see, it's all COVID. Unvaccinated people have less this, less that. Really poor observational sort of correlational studies. They need to do the real studies to decide what's COVID plus vax, what's vax, what's booster. Maybe there's a corollary. Maybe it's just the boosting. But don't you agree with me that we've got to answer that question, priority one?
Yes, absolutely. And before the majority of the force was vaccinated, one of the things I was kind of screaming from the rooftops was that we needed to check for antibodies and we needed to see if people had already been exposed to COVID. And I knew that if we did not get those lab results on people before we vaccinated them, that this is exactly where we would be, where people would always, the pharmaceutical companies and the people that push this would always have the excuse, well, this was COVID. And I encouraged everyone I could, if I can't dissuade you from getting this, I encouraged people to at least go, even if it cost money out of their own pocket, and get tested and see if they had antibodies to COVID, so that if they got sick later on and people tried to say no, it was just COVID, you could say nope, this is the day before I got my vaccine and it was negative.
I could be some variation of that, but you're surprised. I'm sorry.
To my surprise, I was ordered not to order antibody tests on anyone. That we were not supposed to do that.
It's so weird. Let me circle back around and talk to you as a public health official, as somebody with training in public health, at least. What's going on? What happened to our public health officials? I'm so confused, and I've been confused for 2 years, and confused about different things every step along the way. One of the first things that confused me was the mandating, you know, and the lack of risk reward, and the certitude, and the use of fear. Those things were just astonishing to me. What do you think is going on here now?
Well, I don't, mass psychosis. I will tell you that I have.
Yeah, I'm so confused. Let's run that back just a little bit here. I never imagined I would have the day or the time or the tenacity actually to go at Dr. Drew like this on the radio. I kind of feel pretty good about it. Here we go.
What's going on? What happened?
What's going on? What happened? You moron. They're trying to kill us. You've had your head in that Hollywood sand for way too long, and you got no clue what's coming at you, pal. You got no idea. You're about to find out how quickly they can destroy your life. See, they almost killed you. See, the only reason he's doing this is because he had adverse effects, and he was pushing the vaccine. He was telling people to get a vaccine. And the only reason he's doing this now is because he took two of these bad boys and had a few adverse effects from it. So he wants to know what the hell is going on. I got news for you, Doc. They're trying to kill you.
Our public health officials. What is? I'm so confused, and I've been confused for 2 years, and confused about.
I confuse. You've been confused a lot longer than 2 years. Dog is missing again. All right, get over here, dude. Get over here. Come on, man. Lay down. Come on. Lay down. I know. You stay. I know. You just want everything your way, when you want it, how you want it. I get it, man. All right, here we go.
Different things every step along the way. One of the first things that confused me was the mandating, you know, and the lack of risk reward, and the certitude, and the use of fear. Those things were just astonishing to me. What do you think is going on here now?
Well, I don't, mass psychosis. I will tell you that I have seen is even in providers. You had all these providers that jumped on this bandwagon. And they had all their virtue signaling, and they felt really great because they were, you know, doing their part.
It's funny, you know, she's talking to one right now. This guy, this doctor, he pushed the mask, he pushed the closures, he pushed the social distancing, and then he pushed the vaccine. And it was all a virtue signal, this guy. Maybe a little medical, maybe in his head he thought there was some medical. But he had to have had some questions, right? Okay.
And they did not put in the time to sit down and read, not what the CDC was telling them or what Anthony Fauci was telling them, but actually sit down and read the scientific literature and look at the studies and do their own research. They didn't. So now they're in the position where they have promoted this as safe and effective. And they've staked their reputations on that, and they don't know how to admit that they recommended to their friends and their family and their patients something that is not safe and effective.
Yeah, they, listen, it's not safe and effective, and Fauci lied is going to be and Fauci lied, people died is a sticker, a bumper sticker. A t-shirt, a jacket, a bullhorn, a billboard. Fauci lied, people died. That's a billboard. If you ask me.
And they're going to be serious consequences.
It wouldn't be the first time a medicine came out or came out, and after widespread use, we found out there were some problems with it. I've been through many cycles of all kinds of medication that have been in that category. Yeah. Why suddenly this one, we behave totally differently? It's so weird. And by the way, I certainly wouldn't ask those same people to come off their position completely. I still, although Dr. Victory disagreed with me, I still think that in the elderly population, I think I know what I'm doing when I'm vaccinating and boosting. I'm not as worried with the younger females, but there are some concerns there. I'm just worried about this one population with the younger males where there's a very heavy signal that everybody's seeing, but everyone's ignoring.
See, he still pushes the vaccine. He still thinks the vaccine is beneficial to the vulnerable and the elderly. He just wants to know why the younger are having issues. See? It's a clown. This is a clown. This is just another clown under the big top, being a clown, playing clown games with clown words and clown moves. Because he's a clown. And that's what clowns do. They clown around. And right now, he's clowning around. But this lady here is about to tell him some truth, some facts. All right.
And why to say, now after we've spread it out, we've used it widely, but, you know, we're starting to see a signal. We have to refine our risk reward, or at least be able to do better informed consent even. Why is that? Why is just getting to that place so impossible?
I think we have seen this momentum in a direction that was not science-based. And it's really quite astonishing to me that any dissension from this was stamped out immediately. And there was a swift and brutal response to anyone who tried to speak up and just say, hey, you know, there's a long litany of history of the pharmaceutical companies being sued, having to take drugs off the market. And somehow this has become a sin to even, you know, mention that there might be a problem here. And I don't know how we step back from this, but you know, it's just like I teach my kids, you know, think very carefully before you do something that is a one-way direct, take it back.
Yeah, here's the thing. The fact that he's not willing to say these things should be taken off the market immediately, I got to think he's in on it. I got it. Or he's just stupid. Is he just that dumb? Is that the problem? He's just a dumb, dumbed down, indoctrinated, mainstream, know nothing doctor with a high paying salary in Hollywood doing this podcast and advertisements. And he doesn't even practice medicine anymore. I think he's just doing mostly counseling. And, yeah, in on it? I don't know. Full of shit to an extent? Absolutely. Do I buy anything he says? Hell no. Unless there's a complete stand down order from him, until he comes out, and this is the same for every doctor, until every doctor that wants to make a point, they want to make something of themselves, they need to come out and detest these vaccines and demand a cease and desist order on any further rollout. And I'm not hearing that from Dr. Drew. I'm hearing for the vulnerable and the elderly, it's fine. What kind of cockamamie bull crap is that?
And it's going to have second and third order consequences. But I think to motivate people from a medical treatment out of fear was a huge driver in the wrong direction. Because fear is a very powerful motivator. But I would tell you on the battlefield.
Yeah, he may not know. I'm having a conversation with NetEffect over here at the Matrix chat. He may not know, which makes it even worse, because that means he hasn't done any research. Because how is it that I'm not a doctor and I know, and he's a doctor and he doesn't know? Stimulating Talk Radio, only on freedomslips.com.
Had bad intelligence, and we were working off bad intelligence, and soldiers were getting slaughtered, and we realized we had bad intelligence. We would not, for ego's sake, say, let's keep going with this game plan, let's keep moving forward. We would find good intelligence. And we would have to pivot from where we were at if we wanted to win that battle.
I'm hearing we would need discernment on a grand scale. That's what I'm hearing, discernment. And that's what Dr. Drew lacks, discernment. So, you know, I would love to like have this guy sit down with McAuliffe and have him. Like, see, McAuliffe early on supported the vaccine for the elderly too, and now he says the vaccines need to be removed immediately. See, that's a guy who came to his senses quickly. Whereas this clown, Dr. Drew, still supports him for the elderly and the vulnerable, whatever the hell that group is. Oh, I know what the vulnerable are. All those people with coexisting comorbidities, those comorbidities, huh? Yep. All right, here we go.
Yeah, that's something I'm seeing people will not do is when they realize there's a mistake that has been made here. And not even go into the backstory of why we're at where we're at, but this is where we're at. And clearly the safety signals are there and we need to pivot and people don't want to.
People, I'm not sure who the people are necessarily. I don't know if you can necessarily comment on that, but it is, well, the fact that fear was systematically used to me already is an ethical problem. That is, I've never, ever, I mean, I guess we did a little bit of that back in the AIDS epidemic, but it was done, it actually didn't work. And we finally realized that the way to do it was to use humor and music and relatable stories of people with these conditions and, you know, tell narratives. And all it was actually a discipline that developed of how to change health behaviors, particularly in young people. And it was, you know, shown very clearly that authoritarianism and fear, no, did not really work. Now, we're trying to get the entire population on board quickly in the case of this pandemic. And I understand why they might have used some fear, but they should have at least been contemplating the risk reward of that.
No, you don't. You don't understand jack shit in regards to this pandemic. You don't, Doc. I'm sorry. It's over your head. You're below water. You're drowning. You look like a complete moron right now. The fact that you don't know what the hell is going on just makes you look like a shill, just some type of compliant little sheep, right? You're just a little bit more influential in compared to the other sheep, right? So get your vaccine. You got your freedoms. You got your freedoms.
And the ethics of that. And it seems to have not been something that was contemplated and is currently not contemplated, which is, again, I worry that public health officials are being trained in ways that are problematic because it was so, yeah. It wasn't ubiquitous, but it was so.
You think public health officials are being trained in ways that are problematic? Really? You think so? Dude, welcome to the party, you piece of shit.
Commonplace amongst even the local and county level mental health professionals, so-called.
Well, when you train in public health, they train you about messaging in a disaster situation that there has to be one unified message that is repeated and regurgitated ad nauseum. An unfortunate message. And so
is it possible that technique is from a day of a completely different media landscape of sort of broadcast radio and television rather than the current IP to IP kind of communication that goes on in which there is ample opportunity to say, to explain your position and not just put it as a shibboleth out there. Be afraid, shelter in place. That is the most disgusting, unless there was an incoming nuclear missile. I it's the most disgusting thing I ever saw. Do you agree with me?
And I bet you complied. Because you're a knucklehead.
I do. And a lot of people, when it comes to aerospace medicine, a lot of people ask me, like, what do you do? So, our entire focus is on the health of pilots. And I always tell people there's two populations of people that just can't take everything and anything that's over the counter. Pregnant women and pilots, right? Pilot can't take a Benadryl and just go fly. That could cause a major air disaster. So when I think the most alarming thing for me was to see this complete deviation from all of our risk management principles and aerospace medicine decision making. And so when I will never forget when Peter McCullough called me one day and he said, Colonel Long, the CDC is about to have an emergency meeting about the increased incidence of myocarditis in young, healthy males. And he said, this is your population. Oh my gosh, you guys have to, you have to hit the brakes. You can't do this. And the risk of sudden cardiac death. Now, so to a flight surgeon or anybody in aerospace medicine, the thing that actually just is terrifying to us is something, sudden incapacitation that is unpredictable, mm-hmm. is the thing that we are hypervigilant about. Because, you know, you're talking about having X number of souls in the back of the aircraft that are dependent on that pilot. And so, you know, that was the thing that really caught my attention, was that we were putting our young, healthy males at this increased risk of myocarditis, which put them at an increased risk of sudden cardiac death. And when you look at the literature and you see that most people with myocarditis don't have any symptoms, and that this, like, potentially the only way to truly know whether or not they had myocarditis is a very, very expensive cardiac MRI or a cardiac biopsy. And you realize quickly, this is a nightmare. We don't want to go down this path of having to get these super expensive cardiac MRIs on every single pilot to ensure that they're safe to fly.
Too late for that. Too late for that, Lieutenant Colonel.
After every, you know, 6 months and after every vaccination. But there was no relenting. And I will tell you, I talked to a very senior cardiologist for the FAA very early on. And he completely agreed with my entire assessment that we had to stop vaccinating pilots, that this was a disaster. And the FAA has pushed
I would add, and document more clearly the cardiopulmonary effects of COVID in the intermediate to long term. Both those questions for pilots need to be answered, right? Because we're yeah.
now. Okay. See. That's the mainstream narrative, that you can get myocarditis or pulmonary issues from COVID, not just the vaccine, but from COVID. 7-year-old, Seattle, Washington. Cause of death? Myocarditis from COVID. We got to stomp that shit out right now.
Now into the endemic. And people seem to have lost track of what endemic means, which means we all get it, and we all get it more than once. That's the way it is. And so I'm still hearing people say, I can't believe I got it. Yeah, okay, you're going to get it. But Dr. Long, we're going to take a little break here. I want to bring Dr. Kelly Victory in as soon as possible. I appreciate your forthcoming with this. It's a very interesting conversation. More to be revealed. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long. I want to give the gift that keeps on giving. Genucel Skincare keeps everyone on your holiday list looking young and refreshed.
Yeah, negative, Ghost Rider. Not today, Chief. Not on my broadcast. You gotta be kidding me. Here we go.
Definitely banned from Twitter was actually posting a link to your sworn testimony in front of Senator Ron Johnson's committee called a second opinion. And when I posted the link to that testimony, I set off a firestorm of just vitriolic, hateful commentary, people gunning for me. And within 36 hours, I think I was permanently banned from Twitter and remain in Twitter jail. I find it amusing that of all things they would call misinformation, a link to sworn congressional testimony is misinformation in the mind of some Twitter fact checker. Anyway, before I get into the weeds with you on the data, I want to frame it for people a little bit. What it was that you were reporting. And I was on every news network that would have me when your testimony became live reporting on this. You and two of your other career military physician colleagues, brave people that you are, believed that you were seeing increases in certain categories of medical conditions, blood clots, fertility issues, neurologic issues, myocarditis, those sorts of things. Rather than running around like a bunch of bandy roosters screaming, this is what we're seeing, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you took the time to reference DMED, the Defense Military Epidemiology Database, something that you have access to that Dr. Drew and I do not because you're in the military. You were able to look back historically over a 5-year period and calculate the average incidence on an annual basis of these different categories of things, heart attacks, strokes, miscarriages, fertility issues, Bell's palsy, whatever it was, and you compared it to the incidence that you were seeing in calendar year 2020. And in fact, it was only 11 months of it, as I recall, because you only did it through November at the time you said, holy bejesus, this is what we're seeing. And the numbers that I put in that tweet that you testified to were things like a 470% increase in blood clots to the lung, a 300% increase in miscarriages, a 270% increase in heart attacks, and on and on. So,
yeah, but it's safe and effective for the elderly and the vulnerable, those with comorbidities, right, Dr. Drew? Scumbag.
It was truly something that I think you did that was stunningly not only brave, but insightful, to not just say, we think we're seeing this, but to say, here are the numbers. We know what we're seeing is real. So that's where you came onto my radar a year ago. Nice to finally get some time to talk with you one-on-one. Talk about that data, that process of what you and your colleagues did, what the process was, how you came to the decision to look into it and take it from there.
Sure. Well, I started to see unusual things in a very young, healthy population, and having epidemiology and public health background, it quickly caught my attention. And you can call around to other colleagues and say, hey, what are you seeing? And it's a lot of anecdotal, yes, we're seeing unusual things. But very fortunately for me, when I was getting my master's in public health through the military, I was given access to the Defense Epidemiology Database for my research project. And it was a year-long research. And so I used the database very extensively. I was trained on how to use it. And so basically in the database, all across the entire Department of Defense, we use one electronic medical record system. So it doesn't matter if you're in Afghanistan or Texas, all those records are accessible. And so what the DMED does is it takes ICD codes or International Code of Disease that are specific to a disease, injury, or illness, and you can query this database. And it's really a pretty amazing database. You could narrow it down and see how many pilots on Fort Walker had pulmonary embolisms, you know, during a certain period of time or whatever. You could look all the way across the DOD. You could look at just females, just Hispanics. I mean, it's really pretty amazing. But when I was told that they were not tracking, tracing, or monitoring adverse events, I became very concerned that what I was seeing locally was not just local. And one day I was sitting there and kind of thought, well, I wonder if I still have access to the DMED. It's been several years since I completed my research. And I did. And I sat down and I started putting in everything I was seeing. And the numbers were coming back just horrific. And we rolled out the VAC in the military in January of 2021. And so 10 months into 2021, the numbers were off the charts. And I called up Colonel Chambers and asked him, like, hey, tell me some things you're seeing. And I started pulling those codes and asked him to take a look at the DMED. I asked Major Sam Sigaloff and Lieutenant Mark Bashaw to look in the database. And we couldn't believe what we were seeing. And all of what we were putting in were consistent with the things that we were seeing. And you know, we kind of racked our brains. It was very nerving because the data was so catastrophic. My attorney was very fearful for my life and how we would get that data into someone who could do something about it or look into it. And so we ended up bringing that data to Senator Johnson, Ron Johnson.
I think this is a worthy listen to. I know I go a lot over the vaccines, but this is the times we're in. This is the hill to die on. I think these vaccines are their weapon of choice, and we need to attack it on all fronts. And this is a military whistleblower right here. You know, I think it's very interesting what she's saying. I mean, it's Christmas. You can tune out, I guess, if you're not digging it. But we'll get on to some other things here. Maybe. We'll see.
And within a few hours, Moderna lost $140 billion in stock. So it's pretty concerning. Yeah.
Well, and again, just to put this in perspective for people who are listening, when you reported, for example, a 300% increase in cancers, it was based on compared to the annual average, a 300% increase in calendar year 2021. It wasn't an increase from one case on average to three. it was an increase from 38,000 cases on average to 140,000 cases. Okay, so these were orders of magnitude. These were not small numbers. Statistics, as people know, can be very deceptive. If you say 300% increase and you mean from one case a year to three, it doesn't mean much. But you were talking in the tens of thousands of cases, and I assume that was the case for the other categories of illnesses or conditions as well.
Yes, and things like, for example, pulmonary embolisms. What the general public may not understand is the prevalence, meaning how much disease, how many pulmonary embolisms a population has over a period of time, is very consistent. Mm-hmm. And so I could actually take, when people started saying the data was fabricated or made up, before we ever released it, we looked and we crunched the numbers and we said, okay, what is the prevalence of pulmonary embolisms in this age group? And we calculated out what we should be seeing in the military population. And that was consistent with the 2016 to 2020 numbers. And then you look at 2021 and it wouldn't make sense. So, in retrospect, people said, well, the 2021 data was accurate, but there was a supposedly for 5 years in our surveillance system that was underreported. So they went back and they elevated all the previous year's numbers. But for something like that, you would say, so you mean to tell me that in the military, we've always had an pulmonary embolisms like, 10 times the national average, and the national average including people all the way 90 years old. So are we to believe that our military has always been sicker than the general population and we just didn't realize it?
I want to push back a little bit right there, Dr. Long, if you don't mind, just a little bit of pressure right there, which is I would expect you to have at least more DVT with a prolonged, position in a cockpit or a flight deck for long periods of time. I would imagine that pilots would have a higher incidence, even though they're younger, certainly higher than their cohort of the same age from the prolonged sitting and whatnot and lack of mobility. But the other thing is, and just going to share my own observation, I have not seen a lot of DVT from vaccine, but I saw a lot of DVT from COVID. A lot when they were acutely ill, not subsequently.
Well, I would tell you that the database can go all the way back to 1990. And so the database was not just looking at pilots, it was looking at everyone from across the board. So
Ms. Clown still wants to say that COVID-19 is causing the pulmonary issues. Come on with this already.
No, we're a younger, healthier population with less comorbidities than the general public. So it wasn't just one ICD code. It was numerous ICD codes. And the other thing we did is we looked at ICD codes that we had no pathophysiologic basis to believe would increase with COVID or the vaccine. And I won't tell you, we ran numerous of them, and they were steady, really steady, no increase. And so, we did a lot of queries and a lot of consulting specialists.
Yeah. So, and I was really very, very impressed with what you did with this. So you come up with this data now, and it wasn't just one or two categories of things. It was many. And as you said, you compared it to other things that you wouldn't expect to have an increase in incidence of appendicitis or whatever else. And lo and behold, those were very stable, as you'd predict. So you take this information to Senator Ron Johnson, who, by the way, as an aside, is one of the only people in Washington doing anything about anything. God bless him for his efforts. You bring this to him. What was the response of the military? Talk about that process. I can't imagine, so you've got this trove of data that you're about to blow it wide open. Talk about what was their response.
I think this question is ridiculous because the military already knew. Right? I mean, DARPA already knew about ivermectin against COVID-19. It's in my view, military already knew about the vaccines. The military already knew. They know it all before a regular Joe citizen does.
Nothing. Nothing.
So they didn't say, we want to look at it with you. We want to understand it. These are our pilots that are, in charge of some pretty important things. Nobody wanted to discuss it with you.
Not a single person.
To this day, have they?
No. And I did go on to pretty much demand to meet with a senior leader and laid it out for him. And I just saw the blood drain out of his face as I brought the numbers and laid out for him meticulously a lot more data than the general public has seen, and reasons why the data was credible. As this person told me, if what you're saying is true, and if this data is true, I'm going to make it right. And I'm like, you can't make this right.
Right.
It's been injected into all of these people. It can't be undone, but we can start screening. We can start setting a screening process in place to make sure that we identify any potentially deadly things like myocarditis early. And but I think what is the bigger story is the complete absence of dialogue about this. And many people would tell you, myself, Pete, Sam, we literally prayed we were wrong on this because it was probably the most painful couple, for me to realize what I was seeing in my local population was part of a much bigger picture, and being in the position of how do I protect soldiers, and how do we get this information to people who will do something about it.
Well, I certainly share that sentiment. I get no joy out of being right about this because the implications are horrific. And one of the reasons that this platform,
Not horrific to stop them, though. Not horrific enough to stop them. They're still okay for seniors and the most vulnerable. Okay, Dr. Drew.
For me, came into my being on this platform with Drew came into being was because of the egregious censorship that has happened, the total lack of dialogue that before COVID, robust, vigorous debate was a cornerstone of medicine and something that we really took pride in, and it has been absolutely non-existent, as you know. You and I were speaking a couple weeks ago. We were talking about some blood work that you do routinely on soldiers, and your ability to determine whether or not somebody perhaps may not be vaccinated on the basis of routine blood work that you're running. Talk a little bit about that.
I've been pretty surprised to see a suppression in the white blood cell count, neutrophils, and lymphocytes. And not just in one or two people, but numerous people. And I've had the occasion where it indicates that somebody may be vaccinated, but that's completely normal. And let's just say a reason to believe they're not maybe vaccinated. But I have never to see that consistently across the board in numerous young people, and not just one abnormal lab, but repeated labs are abnormal, is concerning. I've
okay. Well, but guys, you get the idea. I'm going to drop this video in the chat for Susie Q. Susie Q. Always so nice to me, Susie Q. Always so lovely. That's Susie Q. Thank you so much. By the way, I lost the contacts in my phone, Susie. So maybe you send me a little something. I can add you back in there. Let me know who it is. I'm on a new phone, new contacts. What a joke. I think they do this intentionally. Almost 2 years to the week that I got the phone in the first place. It takes on me. I lose all the contacts. Yes, whatever. Okay. Yeah, I got to. I see a couple of other things here. All right, here comes the link. There you go. Yeah, Carrie Lake, she's going to appeal. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. We'll see how many good judges remain. And here's a little something to refresh everything, and then we'll start over. Here we go. This Brad.
Getting enough sleep is essential to ensuring that your body is healthy mentally and physically, and also ensuring that you have a safe and a high quality of life.
Dear Rachel made history, becoming the first openly transgender 4-star officer across uniformed services.
and raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. And it is truly my honor to serve as the Assistant Secretary for Health, and truly my honor to be an Admiral in the Public Health Service Commissioned Corps, to be the first transgender individual who is an Admiral in any of the 8 uniformed services. And my goal is to give back.
Part of giving back is Admiral Levine's message to the transgender and nonconform.
Yeah. No, right? No. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, right? I can't do it either. All right. And so that's Rachel Levine. And that's a dude apparently in the uniform of a female's uniform. It's disgusting. All right. And this guy here, he needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyways. Dr. Pete McAuliffe. Here we go. Oh, by the way, he's joined by Moriarty, I believe is his name.
And so, you know, one thing that would be useful to establish is for neither of you gentlemen, was this ever a matter of partisan politics?
Now, I've always said when you mix medicine and politics, what do you get? You get politics. And I've always considered myself a political moderate. I'm a split ticket voter. I've been a registered Democrat. I'm registered Republican currently. But I'm right down the middle. And I've always espoused fiscal conservatism, not blowing the money. Both parties are doing a terrible job there. I think both parties have heavily contributed to the COVID-19 pandemic debacle. And both parties have shown, you know, overall in the United States, a lack of courage in facing this. And that's been my great disappointment. So,
yeah, you're not alone on there, brother. Let me tell you, these so-called representatives, I haven't seen them do shit for us. Nobody brings up, you know, a few cats, they bring things up, but, they should be screaming and paying for billboards all across the country right now. Screaming ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibodies. It should be on billboards all over the nation, telling people to stop taking the vaccine, get on ivermectin, get on some early treatment, and avoid catching COVID. And if you do, natural immunity. Ivermectin will help speed up the process and allow your body to reject the toxins. Yeah, but no. $1.7 trillion omnibill, and you, Joe Citizen, just go get your vaccine. And don't look at what we're doing. Just go get your vaccine. Don't worry about your representative. Huh? Okay.
It's clearly, in my view, not a right or left issue.
Yeah, I'm with Peter on that. I think I would describe myself as being an advocate for ethical, evidence-based medical practice and informed consent. And for me as a doctor, this is something we're ingrained in our culture. You know, when we manage patients, Peter, we are not supposed to discriminate people according to their age, their gender, their political affiliation, their religion, their race. So I see this. I'm an advocate for truth and transparency. I don't belong to any political party in the UK. My father was a very staunch supporter of the Labour Party, which would be the equivalent of the Democrats over here. But for me, I think politicizing medical truth is an exercise in intellectual and moral bankruptcy.
No. No, I mean, that's fine on the surface. That might be the car they're driving, but underneath the hood is a depopulation, killing ritual meant for the elderly, the sick, the comorbidities, the children. And there's also a little bit in there. They threw a little bit in there for, you know, let's go ahead and get your transgender kid mutilated and shot up with 4 vaccines, cut their breasts off, sterilize them. They'll probably get cancer before they're 10 or 12. And then by then they'll be dead. So we're not worried about it. Yeah, that's where we are. But we shouldn't be talking about these things. I talk about it too often, apparently. That's redundant. And we should just sweep all this under the rug. Huh, Pony? Huh, Pony? Go get a grip, scumbag. Come on. The hell.
I'm curious about India. And one of the things that we talk about in our book, is this concept of nasal hygiene that goes back to Sanskrit literature. Remind me, what is the name of the old Sanskrit book of health and hygiene? For some reason, I want to say it's the Vedas. No.
Vedas.
The Vedas.
Yes, it may be the Vedas you're referring to.
And there's, I mean,
I think they're the oldest religious text in the world. I mean,
yes.
Hinduism is the most ancient living religion of the world. So,
well, we circled back around to this concept of nasal hygiene, which is in the Vedas. So, hand washing, oral hygiene, nasal hygiene, it's all there in this
ancient wisdom.
Ancient wisdom. I saw that your family immigrated to Manchester.
Yes. Yes.
And how did your father choose Manchester?
So initially, interestingly, he worked at the very beginning in Liverpool. He wanted to be a pediatrician, so worked in a very famous children's hospital called Alderhay. And then it was within a couple of years, I think, we moved to Manchester. The reason that that's interesting is I grew up as a very avid soccer fan. And many people will know in the United States of the team Manchester United. So I was a very strong supporter of them. But my father, when he moved in the late 70s to the UK, Liverpool were the team. They were like, they dominated European. As a person, I was absolutely shaped both by the way I was brought up by my parents, and I'll talk about that, but also my school. In fact, another reason my dad chose to settle in the UK, and the reason I mention that is because it was not an easy decision for him. He was a team side in Greater Manchester.
But I mean, remember back in the early days.
But not least of the reasons was the fact that I knew that heart disease was still the biggest killer in the Western world. As you go through in terms of managing very sick patients, because you can imagine my first job in west of Scotland was dealing with people where massive prevalence of heart disease, a lot of alcoholism, a lot of people, you know, where the average life expectancy was in their 50s. And then I moved to Manchester. I got a training job in cardiology in Manchester Royal Infirmary, which was one of the busiest hospitals in the country for ER work there. So I had a lot of, I was very lucky.
Yeah, the video is just slow rolling. I mean, I've watched some of this, but I'm going to drop this in here as well. Where are you at? Okay, there you are, Matrix. Yeah, Futurist, it's a mess. It's a mess, bro. The damage they do to these kids. I mean, gender affirmation is child mutilation. Don't forget. All right, so there's that little interview. This is over at his website, Dr. Peter McAuliffe. Courageous Discourse, that's Peter McAuliffe's website. So I recommend going over there. It's a great video. So we covered Carrie Lake a little bit. She's going to appeal. This one here, Dr. Peter Hotez said that the anti-vaccine activism is anti-science aggression and links people who refuse the COVID injections to the far right. Frosty the Snowman is now a racist and white supremacy-based thought and ideology. COVID-19 causes myocarditis and not the vaccine. It's clown world. It's absolute clown world. We live in absolute clown world. At this point, we have to hope that the animals, a.k.a. the police, turn on the rulers like they do frequently in circuses. Every now and then you'll get a lion that'll just start munching on the little lion tamer, huh? Taking a couple of bites out of a calf. No big deal. Hey, this is about 3:44. We'll play this, but before we get to it, Sean Penn, if you're out there listening, which I doubt, but if you're out there listening to this and you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows Sean Penn, I want you to tell him out of the bottom of my black stone heart, okay? Go yourself, all right, Sean Penn? The notion that you think the unvaccinated should go to jail, should be criminalized, tells me that you're on the hook, bro. You went down to the crossroads and sold your ass to the devil and the Hollywood merchants that buy and sell actors for profit, for sexual use, for their dirty deeds, And you, Sean Penn, are a disgrace. I don't care how much I like some of your movies. You're a disgrace. All right. I had to get that off my my shoulders. Sean Penn, you're a disgrace. And so is your ex-wife, Madonna. You want to do something about that? And reel that bitch in, because she's a bigger mess than you. Madonna, what a mess. Got a couple pieces of plastic in her face. Unbelievable. All right, Dr. Peter Hotez.
World Health Organization publishes video calling COVID jab skeptics a major killing force. LifeSite News, the World Health Organization, has published a video claiming that people opposed to the COVID jabs are anti-science and a major killing force. In a recently published video on the World Health Organization's WHO Twitter page, Dr. Peter Hotez said that anti-vaccine activism is anti-science aggression and links people who refused the COVID injections to the far right. Anti-vaccine activism, which I actually call anti-science aggression, has now become a major killing force globally. At Peter Hotez, professor and dean at BCM_Tromed, on the devastating impact of hashtag misinformation and disinformation. World Health Organization, WHO, at WHO, December 14, 2022. The WHO has made this wholesale condemnation of anti-vaccine activists, despite the fact that many people have been seriously injured or even died after receiving the experimental COVID jabs. A Swiss study, for instance, found elevated troponin levels, indicating heart injury, across all vaccinated people, with 2.8% showing levels associated with subclinical myocarditis. Furthermore, a group of scientists recently conducted a risk-benefit analysis, which showed that getting a COVID-19 booster shot is at least 18 times more dangerous than catching the virus itself for young people under the age of 30. However, the WHO's showcased physician did not acknowledge these facts in his rant. We have to recognize that anti-vaccine activism, which I actually call anti-science aggression, has now become a major killing force globally.
Yeah. You know what the real major killing force is globally? The lack of discernment. That's what the major killing force is globally. Globally. This is another conundrum. All right, here we go. People starting to hate on me a little bit for my views on the shape of the planet we live on. If it doesn't matter, then why the hate? Right? There's a question for you.
Tez said in the video, using a backdrop of photos of protesters against the COVID shots. The university professor of biology at Baylor College of Medicine claimed that during the COVID pandemic in the United States, 200,000 Americans needlessly lost their lives because they refused a COVID vaccine, even after vaccines became widely available. And now the anti-vaccine activism is expanding across the world.
Yeah, well, I was the first one out here. Right when it came, right when they started talking about vaccines, I instantly started getting into motion here because I know what they do. I know what they're trying to do. Instantly, you know what they're trying to do with these vaccines. They've always done it. They've always used vaccines as a means to exterminate. Genocide, exterminate, kill. Stop at nothing. They want this planet for themselves.
Dot. It's a killing force, Hotez proclaimed. Anti-science now kills...
Actually, the opposite. What you're hearing right now is inversion. The numbers are probably right, but the scenarios, those are probably wrong. The scenarios, you have to invert them, right? Okay? You have to invert the scenarios. That's all you got to do here. That's how you decipher this bullshit. Anti-vaccine activism. Anti-science aggression. I wear that shirt with a badge of an honor. Anti-science aggressor. Yeah, anti-science aggressor on my t-shirt. No question. Anybody who makes me that t-shirt in a black, extra large, anti-science aggression, reach out to me. You make that t-shirt, I'll put it on my back. Let's see. And things, people who refuse the COVID injections to the far right. So if you so you're automatically a conservative if you refuse the vaccine. Now, I know a good number of black people are Democrats. And you want to know what the least populated is in the United States? The population in the United States who took the vaccine the least amount, right? They're the least vaccinated population in the country, the blacks, because they're fucking smart, because they learn, they pay attention, they learn from history. Even in school, they have discernment because they know their parents taught them, hey, this is what they did to us then. We're not doing it now. You got to give them props. You absolutely got to give them props. If there's anybody in this country that's got discernment, proof positive, it's the senior and middle-aged black man and woman who are passing down the information to their generations below them. And the word's getting out. They're too smart. This government fucked up. So good. Good. All right. Let's continue.
It's more people than things like gun violence, global terrorism.
And no such thing as gun violence. If there's such thing as gun violence, that means there's such thing as pipe violence, hammer violence, car violence, pencil violence, pen violence, jail violence. There is such thing as jail violence. Bar violence. Anything, anywhere people get hurt. And the object that hurts them is what you name the violence. So bar violence, you get hurt in a bar, it's bar violence. You know, you're working with a crowbar and it slips off the lug nut and you fall onto one knee and crowbar pops up and hits you in the face and you got a shiner and, you know, crowbar violence. Ridiculous.
Nuclear proliferation or cyber attacks. The scientist did not provide evidence for this dramatic claim. And now it's become a political movement, he continued. In the U.S., it's linked to far, sick, extremism on the far right, same in Germany. So this is a new face of anti-science aggression. And so we need political solutions to address this. The doctor did not provide evidence in the video that opposition to the dangerous, experimental COVID jabs is linked to extremists. Hotez is a pediatrician who works in the field of vaccine research and development and, in addition to his post at Baylor College of Medicine, is the chair of tropical pediatrics at Texas Children's Hospital. The WHO is known for its radical pro-abortion stance and promotion of abortion access all around the world. Its current director general, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, was a member of the Ethiopia's communist Tigray.
Tedros, I'm a scumbag, blah, 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 blah.
People's Liberation Front and served its Minister of Health when it was in power. The party was declared a terrorist organization by the Ethiopian government in 2021. Hotez appears to be very close to Ghebreyesus, as he recently described him as my brother and mentor Dr. Ted.
Oh, disgusting. So they're brothers. This guy, Peter Hotez, is probably on his knees for Tetris. It's great. Yeah, you look like a scumbag. All right. Here's the article. And let's thank the robot AI for reading that for me a lot faster and smoother than I would have. There you go. All right. Okay. We'll get over that. We're going to get over that. LifeSite News. You're out of here. The EU. Let's see. Oh, this is insane right here. Oh, we're over here. Rudders. It's crazy. The European Union's von der Leyen can't find texts with Pfizer chief on vaccine deal letter. Can't find the letter. Brussels, June 29th. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen is no longer in possession of text messages that she exchanged with Pfizer chief Albert I'm a lizard underneath this. Skin flesh, Borla to seal a COVID-19 vaccine deal, the commission said in a letter published on Wednesday. in an interview on April 21, Von der Leyen revealed she had exchanged texts with Borla for a month when they were negotiating a massive vaccine contract. But in the response to the public access requested by journalists because of the importance of the deal, the commission did not share the text, triggering accusations of maladministration by the EU's ombudsman, Emily O'Reilly, whatever that means. Yeah, so they lost the contract, communications, the comms. That's not the only one. I'm seeing quite a few Pfizer contracts being lost. The other one I heard about was over in New Zealand. I think that dude down there dressed like a broad running New Zealand. I think that guy down there, total fraud, total douchebag. I caught a bulge under a red dress walking out of a conference hall from that thing they call the prime minister of New Zealand, whatever, president. So that's a lie. Yeah, what else have we got here? International. Oh, yeah. This is huge. International Blood Bank for Unvaccinated has been formed with members from at least 16 countries. Demand for pure blood skyrockets. That's right. Let me tell you, if you miss my show, if you miss the show on the High Council on Wednesday, and then I think maybe I didn't even mention it on Wednesday. Maybe I mentioned it. Maybe it was closer to Friday when we did the Christmas roundtable, huh? With that knucklehead and a couple of others. Great hosts. The RT, you missed the RT on Friday. It was fabulous, fabulous. So I'm at the bar, behind the bar, and doing my thing. I'm helping out with the glasses and the cleanup and the filling a couple of pitches, right? And I can't help but overhear a conversation where a dad is so proud of his son he's going to be a heart surgeon. The son's going to be a heart surgeon. It's like 33 years old, right? How convenient. Yeah, Susie, I agree. So, kind of lost my train of thought on that, but yeah. I got a question, right? So I asked this soon-to-be heart surgeon. He's already a doctor at this point, right? So I asked this soon-to-be heart surgeon if he plans on using pure blood in his future surgeries. He said, nah, it'll make a difference. He said, it don't make a difference. And I said, no difference, eh? And he said, no difference. In the back of my head, I says to myself, you're lucky I'm on the clock, or I'd pull you over the bar, you piece of shit. But my job means more to me than that guy. So we avoided that circumstance. I'm pulling him over the bar and maybe a little waterboarding for a guy like that, huh? A little waterboarding. Because you know he's vaccinated. If he thinks there's no difference in the blood, so that tells you he's vaccinated. And that also tells you that there is no conversation being had with our doctors today. Your average hospital doesn't think there's a problem or has no policy to separate the blood. They don't give a damn. They'll put that blood right up in you, and you'll be vaccinated whether you like it or not. You got to get a transfusion? Yeah, here's some vaccinated blood for you. Sorry, it's all we got.
pretty scary. So at least there's that that coming. Non-vaccinated patients who require transfusions can now access pure blood thanks to a new service called Safe Blood Donation, which was launched by a Swiss neuropath named George Della Pierta. Safe Blood Donation, which currently has members in at least 16 countries, has a long-term goal of opening blood banks that provide its members with unvaccinated plasma. Beautiful, beautiful. According to George Della Pierta, the number or the demand for pure blood has skyrocketed globally. Discussed globally. The Gateway Pundit previously reported that a peer-reviewed study in Italy found that 94% of people who experienced side effects after receiving mRNA vaccine had abnormal blood and contained foreign matter in 1 month after vaccination. The surgeons believe that the vaccine makers should provide an explanation as to what is in or what is within the shots and why those components are present. They're calling them components because they're self-assembling components. This is exactly what they are. In our experience as clinicians, these mRNA injections are very unlike traditional vaccines, and their manufacturers need, in our opinions, to come clean about what is in the injections and why it is there, they said. For this exact reason, a lot of people refuse blood transfusions if the donor had received a COVID vaccination. It's a true story. I get hundreds of emails asking me, do you have blood available because I have surgery coming up in 3 weeks? We want to be a platform for people who want to have the free choice of blood donors, he said. Whether they think there is a real conspiracy theory going on, that the New World Order is happening, or if they simply say, I just don't want it for whatever reason. So the article goes on. Yeah, well, let's see. My dog's about to take another trip to the kitchen, so let me go grab him real quick. It's about every 20 minutes. I got to turn him back around again. All right, there you are.
How you doing? Yeah, I'll get you there. Yeah, right, there you go.
Hang on. Yep. What he wants to do is go on a 13K. That's what he would like to do. It's a little cold out, and we're about to have 25 to 30 mile an hour winds in town and probably 60 to 70 mile winds on the mountain. Absolutely fabulous. All right, so that's GP. Beautiful. Did I put it in chat for you? Yes, I did. There you go. All right, blood bank, boom, in the chat. All right, next up. Yeah, do I really want to get into politics? I don't really want to do politics. Right? I got a bunch of tabs in politics right now. A bunch of options. This clown, John Bonner, cries at Nancy Pelosi's Porsche unveiling because he's just a scumbag. Bonner, former UFC fighter, dies at age 45. I saw this guy's fights. I saw his career in the UFC. He got busted at the end of his career for PED abuse. I guess he was using steroids in his last couple of fights. And he had been out of the UFC for a good 5 or 6 years. I'm not sure if he fought somewhere else, but he's dead. And the understanding is that he was vaccinated. Shocker. All right, yeah, next up, Tom Renz. We have incentivized the murder of patients. They get paid to put people on ventilators or give them remdesivir and then a ventilator. That's how it works. All right, the Democrats, they want to give $500,000, $300,000 to descendants of slave owners or slave families or, yeah, slave victims, I guess you would call them. Unfortunately, what they don't realize is that 80% of the slaves that were sold by black men to white men and then shipped and given to other black men in Brazil for a profit. And then 20% of the remaining slaves came to America because very few people could afford them. You had to feed them and train them and house them, shelter them, and blah, 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 blah. And sure, there were some hard times for a lot of them. I'm not suggesting this is a great time, but this, the notion that we had some massive war over slavery is total bullshit. That war was a land grab, a money grab, a power grab, structure grab, you name it. They were grabbing it, they were taking it, and we bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Brother will kill brother. Scrolling across the land. Yeah. Well, oh yeah, well that happened last week. Joe Biden's pup handler, Sam Brinton, out. Stole two pieces of luggage from some airports, one being Las Vegas. Idiot. And now we understand where he got all his fashion design. He was dressing like a woman because he was stealing all these females. He would see a female, probably see how she was dressed, see the size she was, like watch, you know, probably seeing, you know, what she looked like, how tall she was, if they're the same height, maybe the same build. You're a man. You'll never find a woman the same build. And, you know, this type of thing. And then he would go and figure out a way to steal her luggage. And then he got busted finally. Scumbag. Oh, yeah. This is ridiculous. These clowns ever come near me with their medicine and their practice. I mean, look at all the things they want to plug into you and run through you and just... I mean, all the things in the hospital. Oh, it's ridiculous. COVID vaccine hesitancy associated with increased traffic crash risk. Yeah, and I'm not even going to give that the night of day. I'm sure many of you have already read that article, but they can go stick just right off with that garbage. Yeah, there's another one right here. Demand for unvaccinated blood is soaring. Again, this is another little piece of evidence that... we're going to have pure blood banks here in the United States. It's going to come. There'll be law. You watch. There'll be law. I give it 6 months to a year where there will be legislation made to where patients have to be given the option of pure blood versus vaccinated blood in hospitals. I guarantee you this is going to happen. Eventually, they'll just say you can't vaccinate, you can't donate blood if you're vaccinated because it's just, it's a mess. It's going to start killing people left and right, more people. They'll come in, they're in a car accident, they need an infusion, they're unvaccinated, they leave. 3 weeks later, they die of myocarditis. What the, man? What the hell? Right? So, all right, back to Lieutenant Colonel Teresa. Here we go.
Probably in my career looked at tens of thousands of CBCs, and I have not seen this many abnormal CBCs in my whole 15 years prior to this year. So
I still have that again, same lingering question, though, guys. The lingering question is COVID, COVID plus vaccine, vaccine plus COVID, just vaccine. Can you tease any of that out for us?
I honestly never saw any of that with this consistency before the vaccine was rolled out. But
ding, 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 ding. Is that going to be enough for Dr. Two? Nope. 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 Just squeaks an ink. Not going to be enough for Dr. Drew. He needs more.
Interestingly enough, at the most recent discussion with Senator Johnson, Dr. Ryan Cole talked about how in the tissue samples, what he sees is a ton of neutrophils and lymphocytes within the tissue. Yeah. And that made me start realizing maybe all of those are getting sequestered into there. But Dr. Drew, you bring up a very important point that correlation does not mean causation.
Right.
But we are not talking about this. We are not looking at this. And right out
the
beginning.
That's my concern.
My concern
is that you left work one day, Dr. Drew.
You left work one day and you, you got pulled into a van and they put a bag over your head and they drove you down to this little basement and they pulled you out. You pulled the cover off your head and you were sitting on a chair and you had, you know, Newsom-like individuals in front of you, all black suits, telling you, hey, this is how far you're going to go with COVID-19 and the vaccines. This is the script that you can have, and if you go outside of these boundaries, you will lose everything in Hollywood. He's a Hollywood doctor right here. He's a real doctor, but he's a Hollywood doctor. All right?
Okay. That they had the studies that showed, they said, you know, we're vaccinating all of these people because the risk of getting myocarditis from COVID infection is what we're preventing with this vaccine.
That's bullshit.
And I said, well, okay, the risk of myocarditis is 2.3%. But what, and then when we had the CDC come in and say there was a increased risk with vaccine, my big concern is it synergistic? What is the fact?
Right.
Because mm-hmm. now when I've mm-hmm. seen 98% of the people COVID positive in the last year are fully vaccinated and they've gotten mm-hmm. two bouts of COVID.
So this is another great point. So they have COVID and they're fully vaccinated and they have myocarditis. So they're trying to see if there's a combination of having COVID and being vaccinated is the cause of myocarditis, right?
Now we're talking about people with 3 and 4 risk factors for myocarditis. And I don't know, does that put them at a 30% increased risk? A 20%? Right. I don't know, but we like to.
Yeah, I know this. You didn't have any of these stats before COVID on myocarditis, all right? So you just need to get a grip. You didn't have any of them. None of these stats existed until they released that vaccine.
That doesn't prove causation. That doesn't prove causation. Okay. I'm vaccinated. I'm just fine. Look at me.
There's no way for me to do risk mitigation when I'm being completely blind. And so,
oh, Mr. Rowe,
since
he's
we don't
alive.
Have the data to completely ignore that, that it is
AI
a concern
monsters.
And it is a risk and just not talk great. About it. It's not acceptable. So
take us so I was going to say, take us to the perspective of the soldier. You know, you're a career military physician. Are you personally, how does it work in the Army? Do soldiers come to you to get a required vaccine, or is there like a vaccine clinic and they just go there and get that done? And so are you personally responsible for giving these mandated vaccines? And either way, what is your conversation with the average soldier? Are they gung-ho, yeah, feeling awesome that they got to get their, you know, their fifth booster? Or are they not keen on this but are doing it to keep a job? Talk a little bit about that whole thing.
Sure. So we have vaccine clinics. So generally we keep track that we have a dashboard that shows us if they're deficient in getting their HIV annual test drawn or their immunizations up to date and those types of things. So we're aware if someone's deficient in a immunization, but we are generally not the people who do the immunization. Now, when the vaccine mandate came down, historically, we have a list of reasons why someone could be exempted from the vaccine, to include a disinfection demonstrated by antibodies.
So previous infection demonstrated by antibodies. That is natural immunity. That's natural immunity, okay? And natural immunity has been dismissed. In fact, I've heard a doctor say that you can't have natural immunity without vaccines. Everybody has to be vaccinated to get natural immunity. You see that? You hear the conflict in that sentence? Do you hear it? Everybody has to be vaccinated to achieve natural immunity. Just say it back to yourself. If you don't hear the problem with that statement, I don't know what to do for you. I don't know what to do for you. You're last guys. Vamanos.
And for this vaccine, for COVID, all of a sudden, natural immunity didn't count. And all of a sudden, you know, people who had an allergy to polyethylene glycol, that didn't count. And so all of a sudden, we're deviating again from longstanding procedures and policies with no explanation why. And I was forbidden from having any say on whether or not people I was responsible for got a medical exemption. And when you see all of these deviations that don't make sense, really start to raise a lot of flags about why all of a sudden natural immunity is not a reason to not vaccinate somebody. And why aren't we checking antibodies on people? So
one of the things that was, you know, it occurred to me before this conversation was that all three of us, you, Dr. Drew, and I all took a Hippocratic oath. We share that in common. We not only all went to medical school and did residencies, but we all took the same oath. I have on top of that, I have a very strong faith. It's something that I haven't discussed with Drew, but I have a very strong faith that keeps me grounded in my medical practice. But you answer to a third very powerful authority, namely, you know, the commander in chief. You answer to a third component that I do not. How have you balanced that, your medical oath and ethics and training, along with your commitment, your oath to the government and to the military?
Well, that's easy. For me, I obey God and I leave the consequences to Him. My morals, my ethics they're not for sale. And I won't compromise them. And, you know, before I ever came out publicly, I brought
my morals and ethics aren't for sale. I love it. I love it. I could kiss you.
My concerns high up in the Defense Health Agency, and on the spot was given a medical exemption. And once I came forward as a whistleblower, I lost that exemption. And but I had told my family, look, I have to do this. It may cost me my medical license, pension, any in the military and my wings. But I have to do this. And I'm willing to lay all of that down because you cannot compromise here. I will not compromise the health and safety of service members for any narrative or agenda or it's absolutely the hill I'll die on. And I think I don't really understand why other people indifferent to what is going on and why other people would compromise that.
So they took away medical exemption?
They took away her medical exemption when she turned into a whistleblower so that they could kick her out of the military. Yeah, that's what happened. Here we go.
They removed your medical exemption when you released this data?
Oh. It was supposed to be for for a time, and then I was told that duration was no longer going to be respected, and that's nothing I didn't I didn't think that it was appropriate for me to get an exemption when other people with the same concerns wouldn't get an exemption. So I've filed for a religious accommodation request. I've already gotten the first denial back, and we weren't talking about a handful of soldiers. We were talking about upwards of 250,000 soldiers who were facing being kicked out of the military. And a lot of people don't realize that right out the bat, anyone who was in a command position was told that if they did not get vaccinated, or they would not order their soldiers to get vaccinated, they were immediately relieved of their command.
Yeah. Yep. Frightening what they did to military people. That really sucks. And I hope they all get their job back with back pay. And I hope the people that put these individuals in that position to make those choices are fired and arrested and prosecuted and put in the jail with a guy named Bubba and no mattress. Huh? No big deal. Well, thanks, everybody. Billy Bad Assassin. I see Mr. Rowe over in the chat. Susie Q. I never got any Susie Qs from you, by the way. Futurist, you have yourself a good evening as well. Netflix, you have a good evening. Oregon Green. Yeah. I think that's about it that's in there right now that's active anyway. Zoe, I think, left. I always put Zoe to sleep. That's it. Take it easy.
Natural Law. You enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Alert.
alert, alert, listen up now.
Two corner with Chris Roll 0xE0.